This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking you all the way up to 6:15 tonight. Without Danny, who's on vacation, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. G&D continues, sponsored as always by the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft your will or set up a revocable trust, perhaps creating a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We've been talking training camp for much of the show today. All of our camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. I like touching the national media for a perspective and having folks on who have dropped in on Commander's Camp, who have also been to other camps just to get their perspective on what they saw. And I'm fired up to talk to Kevin Clark right now on the BetQL guest hotline. He, of course, plies his trade now at ESPN, where he hosts This Is Football. Kevin, it is great to have you back on the show, buddy. How you been?
I'm so fired up. I am at leaving Westchester Airport Rental Car Center after a 7-team training camp tour, and I'm fired up. And this is football, man. Like this is the time of year we're in it.
It's the best. It's so fun. So you made the rounds, it sounds like. So I want to ask you about a bunch of the teams that you visited. But I want to start with the Commanders. What was your feel leaving there? What vibe did you get from Operation Dan Quinn and Jaden Danielsville?
Yeah. It's so hard to gauge this time of year where a rookie quarterback is at, unless it's bad. And what I mean by that is, like, I went to New England and Drake May is bad. And I don't think that really means much because of how huge the gap is between college and pro. The first 2-3 weeks of training camp, and even really the entire first rookie year, it's hard to gauge what a player is going to look like in year three or year four. But Jaden Daniels has played a ton of football, and so you knew he'd be NFL ready because of that. And I talked to Peter Pritchard, obviously the quarterback's coach there, and the one thing he talked about was the way the portal put him in different situations, and he played a lot of football. And for God's sakes, he beat Justin Herbert and threw a touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk when he was in college. Jaden Daniels did. Okay, like that's all you need to know about how much football he played. And what Pritchard said was they know what he can do, and they know how coachable he is because there was a proof of concept at the college level. He was in different offenses, he was with different schools, he was with different skill guys, and so the one thing they're not going to do is baby him. I think a lot of times, Grant, we conflate sort of rookie quarterbacks and making their life easy with giving them checkdowns and out, you know, 3-yard outs and all that stuff. And they know that the Jaden Daniels throws inside fades, vertical routes, seam routes, things that push the ball down the field. Jaden Daniels broke Joe Burrow's record for explosive plays at the college level last year. That is not an accident. That is not a coincidence. They know that. They're meeting with him, they told me, to figure out what he's comfortable with. It's exactly what you want to hear about sort of the plan for a rookie quarterback this time of year.
What do you make of all the changes that they made on defense and the possibility that they could be sneaky good on that side of the ball with Quinn, Joe Witt? I'm just completely enamored with. It seems like he could be like a beloved coach in the building already. But everyone looks at last year's results statistically or the record. It's a completely different outfit: owner, GM, head coach, quarterback, and on defense they're going to have a bunch of new starters. Why can't their defense be pretty good?
The defense can be better. I think the coaching is going to be better. I love Joe Witt Jr. I loved him going back to Green Bay. He was so good at explaining that Green Bay defense years ago when he was a position coach. I really enjoyed visiting with him every chance I get. I think just there's still personnel that can play, man. And you don't have that many reps at the NFL level and be that good at linebacker and immediately fall off the cliff. That just does not happen. And so I think he's going to bring instant credibility and knowing – like kind of how to get that defense on the same page as Bobby Wagner would is so valuable. And so I don't think they're going to be a top 10 outfit or anything like that, but I see instant credibility. And I see an interesting dynamic between Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr., the defensive line, obviously, which they're hoping for a bounce back this season. So I think they can be good. I just don't think they're going to be good enough to get into the playoffs.
Kevin Clark of ESPN, just wrapping up his camp tour. We're going to ask him about some of the other teams here in a moment, but starting with the Commanders. Last one on Jaden Daniels in Washington.
Yeah.
When you were there, I guess it kind of made some sense that they were dragging their feet on naming him the starter. The idea that they still haven't, does that surprise you at all? That they, even by saying he's going to start in the preseason game, Quinn came out and said, you know, this is unofficial. He's very, very careful to make sure everyone knows Daniels isn't the starter yet. Are you surprised by that?
No, a lot of that is just personal preference. And there's some guys, and I think it was the Bengals when they had Joe Burrow, said, you know what, screw it, there's no competition, Joe Burrow's a starter. Some people wait until the last second. It's personal preference. I wouldn't read anything into that. I think that the beat writers and the people who watch practice every day, Grant, know whether or not it's a real competition. I haven't heard anything to suggest he wouldn't be the starter. Again, in New England, I had people say to me, oh my gosh, you know, Drake may not start a game this year. That's how far behind he is when you look at a practice every single day. So that's the conversation there. I do not hear that conversation at all at Commanders Park, and I'm not worried about that.
So let's go to the Patriots and Drake May, because I really, really like May coming out. I still do.
Me too.
I mean, I
me
think
too.
He's going to be a star. And a lot of the metrics, like analytically, the stuff that he shined at collegiately are the predictors of quality play. I didn't love the landing spot in New England with their lack of weapons for him, but I would still buy all the Drake May stock, even though it's, you know, it's been a rough week from a reporting standpoint on him. I don't know how much anything matters right now anyway, but what was so bad? Like, what did you see?
He just looked overwhelmed. He looked overwhelmed pre-snap, post-snap. You would see that suggested he didn't know what was coming, Grant, and that means, like, you know, he wouldn't see a pressure coming. All of a sudden, he's trying to shovel pass out. He would miss throws when he had the opportunity to make them. And by the way, part of it, the Patriots defense is really, really good, and we shouldn't discount that. This is a very complicated defense. They were throwing a lot at him. My friend Mitch Schwartz, I asked him yesterday, is the defense always ahead of the offense? He said yes, especially the throw in training camp, because the defense can always install a blitz, throw it at the offense, and the offense has to spend all afternoon adjusting, right? And so I think that that's the biggest thing for me, is just understanding the sort of the nuances of the sport, what he needs to learn. I think that there's something tangible this time of year with the college to pro gap, especially if you're somebody like Drake May and you have not played a lot of football. The hash marks are different, and nobody thinks that's a big deal. It's a huge deal because how much space there is. The fact that in college, defenses don't really disguise their blitzes. If you have any sort of exotic blitz in college, you're going to overwhelm the offense. Athletes are worse in college, so they can't basically disguise their intentions. They have to cheat more. And so you're basically reading a defense from a different sport when you get to the NFL level. And that's why I don't read a lot into the first couple of weeks of training camp, is because not only is Drake May having to learn what amounts to a different sport, he's having to do it against Gerard Mayo's defense, which he's learned from Bill Belichick. Brian Belichick is still on staff. It's still a defense that, for the most part, Bill Belichick handpicked. That's a nightmare for a rookie quarterback. And how often, Grant, do we talk about, you know, a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback isn't a veteran until he's gone through a Bill Belichick defense? We saw it with Mahomes. We've seen it over and over again. Drake May is going through that. So I would not rush to judgment at all on what that's going to look like.
Kevin Clark of ESPN, one of my favorites when it comes to breaking down the NFL, giving us some time here on G&D today. Before we leave the Patriots camp, the news has come since you left there, but they were in pretty seriously, it looks like, on Brandon Ayuk. Your colleague Mike Reese reported today that they were willing to pay him $32 million a year Which, if that was the case, I don't know how this didn't happen. Maybe Aiyuk just didn't want to play there. I mean, what do you make of all that?
First of all, Mike Reese, the other day I ran into a guy. Some guy stopped me on the street, said, "Do you know Mike Reese?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "He was my camp counselor. He was the greatest camp counselor in the history of the world." Okay? So shout out Mike Reese. I just needed to get that out there.
Good reporter.
Second part is
good camp counselor.
Elite camp counseling, okay,
right,
from Mike Reese. The Aiyuk thing has been totally mismanaged by the 49ers because everything now, they're kind of retconning it and saying, oh, well, they're ready to open a deal. Why weren't they ready to open a deal in April? You're not trying to win a negotiation like 31 other teams are. The Commanders are going through this. They're trying to win a negotiation. The Niners are trying to win a Super Bowl, and they can win a Super Bowl. And that's what's disappointing, is that if you knew you were going to cave at some point and open trade negotiations, do it in March at the owners' meeting. So that way you can start making plans. And I don't want to hear that Ricky Pearsall, as my 18-month-old adds extra analysis there in the back seat. I don't want to hear extra that Ricky Pearsall is some sort of replacement. He's not. You're not going to see any sort of offensive year-over-year replacement with somebody like Brandon Aiyuk, who ESPN Analytics says is the best wide receiver in football over the past year. He is good at everything. That's the one thing. Matt Harmon, who does reception perception, he was studying what strengths Aiyuk has, and the answer is everything. Every single route he's good at, he's elite at, from an EPA per play perspective. And so that's kind of what the Niners are going to lose here if they cave. I wouldn't do it. I would find a way. $14 million is not an appropriate price tag for a player like Brandon Aiyuk to play on. I would find a way to rework that, give him extra money and say, we'll address this time next year or 6 months from now, whatever. You're trying to win a Super Bowl, and trading him just doesn't do that.
Kevin, you had I hate the word rant. There's like a negative connotation to that. I'm going to call it a soliloquy, or I'm going to say even you had a take that I thoroughly enjoyed. I could not agree with more recently, where you talked about aggregator accounts making fans dumber. And it actually feeds out of a trough that I address on the show a lot, which is people don't understand the difference between reporting and saying, you know, aggregating and reporting. And that's not necessarily the consumer's fault, but it does make for just a worse everything. But these aggregator accounts where, you know, so-and-so, it looks like he could be in line to take over the starting job. I don't know where any of this crap comes from, but, man, is it worse
for
consumption.
It's crazy, and it doesn't tell the full story. And you have, I mean, I saw one yesterday that was like, whoever, some Giants defensive lineman beats Penei Sewell, and it's going to be a huge season. First of all, it wasn't Penei Sewell, it was Taylor Decker. Second of all, he beat him after about 7 seconds of the rep. And so Decker just gave up. That's how these plays work. And you see this all the time. You've watched so many practices, Grant, where, you know, a guy will score a touchdown when the play would be dead 100 million times out of a million on a real game, on a real field, not a practice field. And yet we draw conclusions from that because we don't know what we're looking at. And we see one rep. You know, it's funny. Kevin Seifert, who covers the Vikings for ESPN, said the other day that Brian Flores was just practicing the concept of Justin Jefferson not getting safety help. Now, you would never do that. No team in the NFL, including the Vikings, would do that in a real game. You would triple team Justin Jefferson before you give him no safety help. But they were just trying stuff out. And yet, if you were to watch that practice or watch one play, you'd say, oh, my God, the Vikings defense is toast. But you wouldn't know the context unless Brian Flores explained it to you, which he did to the media, which he did to the beat writers. I saw a thing the other day in Pittsburgh where they were trying out a rookie undrafted, I guess, slot cornerback, and they put him next to George Pickens over and over and over again at the goal line. Well, the rookie cornerback was getting absolutely toasted because that's what happens when you go one-on-one at the goal line with George Pickens. But what solution do you draw there? If you were trying to pump up George Pickens' season, you could say, oh, my God, nobody can cover George Pickens' MVP season incoming. Or you could say, oh, this guy, you know, this undrafted guy's a bust. Well, in actuality, the truth is very much in the middle. They're excited about the cornerback. They're excited about George Pickens, and they're working on something near the goal line. And the idea that these aggregation accounts can take one practice play and extrapolate an entire season and then make money off of our rage, because we're getting – and that's why I don't amplify specific plays, is because I don't want to give them – I mean, like, I get paid or whatever. I have the blue check mark, so I get paid. It's very little money. And so I'm, you know, you're looking at 0.0001 cent if I actually quote tweeted one of these plays, but I just don't want to feed into it. And so the idea that we've made this such a part of the training camp conversation is driving me crazy. I mean, like, I saw again another play from Keon Coleman, who I really like as a player, but because he had those viral videos where he's, you know, a funny guy a couple months ago, he gets buzzed online. He had a couple plays against quality control guys, and that's one thing. Then he has a highlight catch the other day that goes viral. Guess what I saw when I was there? Some pretty obvious OPI that was called on the field. I didn't see any videos of the OPI. And so that's what's funny to me. We're getting in this conversation where it's like we're not seeing more than 5 reps over the course of a training camp. You're not getting the whole story.
Yeah, and there's a slightly different but similar angle, too. I was a beat reporter, and I hate even bringing this up because it feels like I'm being anti my colleagues and people that I love and I'm buddies with in this market. Because the job is, as much information as you can give me, what I do with it is my own, but just give me, like, we're all ravenous for it. Just give me the info.
Yeah.
So really, it's just people doing a good, thorough job. But when I was on the beat, you started live tweeting practice or big plays or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it just feels like there is, with the immediate nature of social media, like, we find out everything. This guy got burnt. This rookie lost in a one-on-one, which is designed for the receiver to win anyway, or whatever it is. And I don't know that it's, like, healthy in the grand scheme. I'm not blaming anyone.
It's not.
It's almost like, to me, this is a bad analogy, but, like, if we were in the kitchen the entire time while they were making our meal, and we saw, like, they had to restart, or the egg broke and the shell got in there, like, all that matters is when they bring out the plate, does it look and taste good, right? And to some extent. But I want all the info, so I'm arguing against myself. But I just know that the camp nonsense, it's just like, it's a lot, man. And everyone's living and dying on a Thursday third rep in an 11-on-11.
It's crazy. And you know how much practice is used to test guys' limits and all that stuff. And, hey, I'm just going to try this, see what would happen if I threw this ball in the back of the end zone. Hey, is this play going to work? That's the kind of stuff you're trying to do in practice. That's the point of practice. And I would even push that chef analogy further. This time of year in training camp, it's not even like we're making the dish here. It's that the chef usually is trying to learn a new type of food. You know, he's going from being an Italian chef to a French chef, and he's just trying to figure out how to make the baguette. And that's what we're seeing now. And so I think it just all gets lost in translation. It's crazy. And the fact that this, we talk about it so much, is just, it's making me dumber, even though I'm trying not to get sucked into it.
Well, Kevin, your coverage was awesome. It was really cool tracking you throughout your camp tour and seeing that you were out here. Appreciate you spending a few minutes, and we will certainly be watching and listening to everything. This Is Football is where you can check out Kevin's pod. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Anytime, guys. Love coming on.
Be good. That is Kevin Clark, now with ESPN, who is a really smart football analyst, but a good egg and just ultra entertaining. I have many a time seen him tweet something and brought it up on the show, and it's turned into a fun little topic for me and Danny. He is a lot of fun to have on, so appreciate him joining us. At what point does Adam Peters need to rethink getting back in on Ayuk? If, in fact, the Patriots are out and the Browns are out, and it's you or the Steelers, essentially, is it worth at some point reengaging? Or are we done and let's just move on and leave this in the rearview? I want to get into that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I just don't like the price, right? If you're giving away a first-round draft pick and giving him top receiver, you know, money, that's a lot to pay for a team that is not on the verge of something, right? That's a price you pay when you feel you're right there. I think it makes a ton of sense for the Steelers. I'm probably more bullish than most people on Russell Wilson. I think he's in line for a bounce-back year, sign a big contract. Somebody will regret signing him to a big contract. The circle of life moves on. I think that's a team that can push the chips in and say, let's get our guy a guy and do it. That price doesn't make sense for me. I still come back, though, Grant. I know you think this, too. Why in the world would the Niners do this trade when they're all in, when they're in Super Bowl mode? I don't get what they have to gain from this. I don't get why they've allowed it to go this far.
That was Michael Phillips about an hour and a half ago here on Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We have not talked about the Brandon Ayuk trade sweepstakes today, but with some news over the last few hours worth passing along, we'll put our trunks on and dive back into the Ayuk pool for a moment. So the answer to Phillips' question there at the end of his take, where he said, why on earth would San Francisco even engage? I agree. I wouldn't have traded him because I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. The reason it sounds like that they're willing to now is twofold. Number one, I think they know they're not getting a deal done, is my guess, or that he doesn't want to be back. He doesn't want to accept whatever they're willing to give him. So the best value you're going to get in a trade for him is now. See the old Soto conversation we had. When's the best time to trade Juan Soto? Never. When's the second best time? This second, as soon as possible. Because with every passing day closer to free agency, fewer games remaining, you're going to get less back. And maybe more importantly, this is the big thing, I think you're willing to trade him now because it sounds like they are asking for a receiver back. They're not just going to trade him for picks. I'd be shocked if they did that. That wouldn't make sense, to Michael's point. They are a Super Bowl caliber team. They do feel like they've got to win this year. So they're not going to trade Brandon Ayuk just for a second-round pick this year, a third-round pick the year after that, and a fifth-round pick the same year. They're going to try to get a receiver who can help them now, on the field, immediately. From New England, maybe that's Kendrick Bourne, right? From Cleveland, that's Amari Cooper, who's got a year left on his deal, who went 70 for 1,000 last season. From Washington, that's Jahan Dotson. From Pittsburgh, I don't really know who that would look like because I don't know that they've got a whole lot of depth at the position worth San Francisco getting excited about, and maybe that's why they haven't proven to be a formidable trade partner at this point. But that is the report, is that they're asking for a receiver back that they can start who can cushion the blow of losing Ayuk. And if they get a receiver back they can play, plus those picks for the future, plus you're freeing up money so that you can pay whoever it is that you need to that's next in line in that star-studded operation, well, now it makes a lot more sense because you can both still win this season, ideally, even if you take a step back from Ayuk. It's not a massive leap backwards if you have a landing that's softer because you brought in a pretty good wide receiver. So I think that's the answer to Phillips' question there. But what I want to know from you guys, and I still have not heard a good answer on this, and last night I did a lot more reading on everything going on out there and watched a lot more of the reporting from Schefter and other people throughout the day yesterday. Because I was on the air solo all day long as some of this stuff was coming out, it was hard to follow it all. Why do you guys think Peters seems to be out on Ayuk? That's what I want to know. And I'll open up the phones on this for you at 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines available at 800-636-1067. Why do you think Peters doesn't seem to be interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk? And here's what I'm basing the take that Peters looks like he's out on Ayuk on. Number one, the report is that Washington pulled itself out of the discussion. Not that the 49ers said we're not trading him to you, or that Ayuk said he didn't want to come here. In fact, the opposite is probably true, based on what we've seen from him on social media. But the report is there were four teams that San Francisco was talking to. One has recused themselves from the discussion, and that's the Commanders. And so that's the first thing I'm basing this on. The second is, it seems like a deal would have been done, or at least we would have heard that they're talking pretty seriously about a trade if Washington wanted him. Because Ayuk has said no to the Patriots, who were willing to pay him $32 million. And we also heard, reportedly, that he said no to the Cleveland Browns. So if he's turned down two of the four, the Steelers are the only other team with the Commanders, then it tells me that you might actually be able to get something done, knowing what we know, that he's best friends with Jaden Daniels and he wants to play with Jaden Daniels. So that's why I'm assuming it's true that Peters isn't that interested or that Washington is not still engaging. And I'm asking you why you think that is. I think there's three possible reasons. The first is just that Adam Peters thinks the cost is too high. Maybe GM Peters is willing to give up draft picks for Ayuk. Maybe GM Peters is willing to give up a veteran receiver and, you know, some other down the depth chart player for Ayuk. Maybe he's willing to pay Ayuk close to $30 million. But he's not willing to do all three. Because that's certainly how I feel. I'm not going to pay this player and trade draft picks and give you, say, Dotson or Deami Brown. If they did it, I don't think it'd be a bad decision. I don't think I would hate it. I'd be fine with it. Because I'm never going to be upset going and getting weapons for a young quarterback trying to make his way in the league. I think that's a good practice. And the more of that you do, the better your quarterback's going to be, and in turn, the better your team's going to be. So I wouldn't beat them up. In fact, I'd probably endorse and support the decision. But it's just not what I would do. It's a lot of money. There's four to six really good receivers joining the league in the draft every single year, and most of them are not drafted at the top of the first round. There's a lot of ways to add weapons. There are plenty of guys that come available in trade discussions that are agitating and annoyed with their team or not getting paid. We saw it this offseason with a few other guys. It's not like this is the only time you're ever going to get a chance to trade for a wide receiver. So that's number one. I think Peters could think that the cost is too high. He's just not willing to do all three of those things. Second is, Adam Peters could be out on Ayuk because he thinks his wide receiver group is good enough without him. Maybe he does not view this wide receiver room as needing a marked upgrade. You know, maybe he doesn't think that McLaurin, Dotson, Brown, McCaffrey, Alameda Zacchaeus, Jamison Crowder, whoever else makes this team, some version of six guys like that. Maybe he thinks that's an adequate group, that they're going to be set and fine there, and that they don't really need to go get an impact wide receiver. That part I would disagree with, because while I still have high hopes for Dotson, I don't think there's anyone else on the team that has a chance to be a top 20 receiver in the NFL like McLaurin is. Ayuk is already that. You would go from having a below average wide receiver room to a well above average one. You'd go from probably being in the 20 to 25 range in football and wide receiver to in the 7 to 11 range or something like that, with McLaurin and Ayuk, and then the upside still of, I'd imagine in this hypothetical, Dotson's gone probably, but Deami's still around, hoping you get something out of him with a new staff, and you just drafted McCaffrey with the 100th pick in the draft. The only other thing I could come up with as to why Peters might be out on an Ayuk trade would be he's turned off by the antics of Brandon Ayuk during this process. And he just doesn't want to play ball with a guy who is forcing his way out of San Francisco with a tantrum, who then told the Patriots, reportedly, no thank you, despite them saying they'd pay him $32 million. Like, he's gone from a pretty quiet, good soldier to a lot to deal with in a short time in terms of public opinion. But I don't think it's that one. because I think Peters knows him very well. And my guess is Ayuk is acting this way to get out. This isn't what he's normally going to be after you get him. So I think the most likely of these possibilities is either that he just thinks the cost is too high or he really likes his receiver room. And of those, I think it's more likely that he just doesn't want to pay this cost. We had Scott Pioli on the show yesterday. Pioli once hired him in New England, or I guess worked and ran the scouting department with Peters that Peters was in. And Pioli said he'd be surprised if Scott and Adam, having learned from Belichick, didn't view this the same way. Pioli's point was, I can't give up picks like they would have to go get a wide receiver when I'm in the beginning of building my program. I just don't want to do that, and I'll bet you Peters doesn't want to do that. And I think he's probably right. It's just too much of a cost. But that's what I want to know from you guys. Why do you think Peters isn't aggressive when it seems like Brandon Ayuk is there for the taking if Washington wants him? 800-636-1067 if you want to join me. Danny's out. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
It's been at this point for a little bit, so it's nothing really new to me. I mean, you're always disappointed when you can't keep a hold of all your players or it's not going exactly right. I don't like losing anybody, so that's why I'm hoping it does work out here. But right now, we don't have that solved yet, so I hope it does.
That's Kyle Shanahan, but if you are an OG in this market, you already knew that voice. I used to get played on these airwaves a whole lot when he was the coordinator. You know, back when a lot of people in town used to say he only had the job because of his last name, even though he's now arguably the best offensive coach in the league. Anyway, any hoodles, we won't revisit history. Grant and Danny without Danny today on The Fan. Why are the Commanders out on Brandon Ayuk, do you think? Because it seems like they are. And he's also dangling right there to be had if they want him. I think they just think that the cost is too much. And I don't blame them. I probably agree with them. Let's go to Dave in Woodbridge on G&D. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Grant. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
So I don't think they're out. I just think they're sitting back. Hopefully the price will drop. And so you mentioned, maybe trading Jahan or Diami. Let's be honest, they're not taking Diami Brown. Nobody wants him. He's probably going to get cut midway through the season or after the season anyways. I would love to see them. The timing is right. So we have money on the salary cap because we don't have guys to pay right now. There's no left tackle to go spend $30 million a year on or $20 million a year on. So timing is right to get Ayuk on a 3 or 4 year deal. I'd love to see it happen. Trade Jahan and maybe a third-round pick and bring him in for 30 a year for 3 years. Let's do it. Let's give this man some weapons.
So if the price drops, maybe you could get him for that. I get the sense right now they're asking for more than what you just said. It'd be Jahan and maybe like a 2 and a 3. You know, or Jahan and a 2 and, you know, maybe, you know, 2 years later a 3 or whatever. But, yeah, if the price comes down and that's the asking point, I have a hard time believing they wouldn't do that. The question is, what is the Peters evaluation having been in that building? Is he a top shelf receiver that you're willing to pay the $30 million to after that trade? Because that's the part of this I always come back to. We're viewing him as to what he is in that San Francisco offense right now, where Kyle Shanahan's going to get more out of almost every receiver than anybody here or in any market, because nobody gets receivers open better than him. And this is what Ayuk is. When I'm a defensive coach and I got to deal with Debo, McCaffrey, Kittle, Juszczyk, bunch of Pro Bowlers, bunch of All-Pros, bunch of Hall of Fame types, is it different when he's now the number one guy and getting all the attention? Mello in Woodbridge, how are you?
I'm good, Grant. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. I agree with what you just said. You actually stole my thunder a little bit. I think that Adam Peters, he's very smart and strategic. I think he's thinking long-term that is Ayuk worth that when he can probably draft somebody that can give them the same type of productivity. And you mentioned the other three options, Kittles and Debo, as well as Ayuk is probably the fourth option, if anything, when they have their offense that they're running. Can he be that number one, number two guy? And I think he just doesn't want to deal with the diva that is potentially in Brandon Ayuk.
So that is a big part of this, I think. I don't know Ayuk at all, and I am giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's just acting a fool right now, that he's not a fool, right? I'll use the word diva. I think that's probably more acceptable. He's acting like a diva, and he's not a diva. I'm just assuming. But AP would know that. I mean, Peters came from there, has been there since Ayuk was knee-high to a grasshopper. He knows what this guy's all about, and he would know if he's just throwing a tantrum because he doesn't want to go to his room or if he's a guy that throws a lot of tantrums. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Grant? I agree with you. It's probably just a matter of price and that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Why would you give up valuable, controllable assets and draft picks and cash to sign this guy? But I don't think it's helping that he is putting on airs and being perceived as a diva who would rather be forcibly traded from a Super Bowl franchise where he just had his best career season.
Right. Well, how about this too, Chris? I'm going to keep you on the line. But and also, like he's saying, get me out of here. I want to be paid. You're not paying me. Get me out of here. And then the report is from Mike Reese, not a nobody, like the ESPN reporter on the Patriots. He comes out and says the Patriots offered him $32 million a year, but he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, so what is it? The thing is once you get Ayuk, what is he going to find that he doesn't like about Washington in 6 months or 3 months?
What if he doesn't like Ben's Chili Bowl?
Well, that's an automatic. You're gone in my book.
I agree with that.
But
maybe he's anti-half smoke, Chris.
Oh, no, you can't be anti-half smoke.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what is the guy not going to like. You said, what's he not going to like about DC? What if he doesn't like go-go music? He better like go-go music. What if he doesn't like DJ Flex? He can just hit the road, as far as I'm concerned. Because my name is DJ Flex, and I represent Washington, DC. I saw Flex the other day, by the way, Darius. I hadn't seen Flex in a minute. It's good to see his smiling face.
Was it around here?
Yeah, I think he was like sitting in one of these like rooms in the second floor. Yeah.
Wow, that's my guy.
I didn't get to see him because he looked like he was doing actual business.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
I was waddling my way to the studio. Why is Adam Peters not in Ayuk is the question on Grant and Danny. Plus, I want to turn our attention to the Nats. James Wood, what a night last night. G&D.
I mean, it's been at this point for a little bit, so it's nothing really new to me. I mean, you're always disappointed when you can't keep a hold of all your players or it's not going exactly right. I mean, I don't like losing anybody, so that's why I'm hoping it does work out here. But right now, we don't have that solved yet, so I hope it does.
That's Kyle Shanahan, but if you are an OG in this market, you already knew that voice. I used to get played on these airwaves a whole lot when he was the coordinator. You know, back when a lot of people in town used to say he only had the job because of his last name, even though he's now arguably the best offensive coach in the league. Anyway, any hoodles, we won't revisit history. Grant and Danny without Danny today on the Fan. Why are the Commanders out on Brandon Ayuk, do you think? Because it seems like they are. And he's also dangling right there to be had if they want him. I think they just think that the cost is too much. And I don't blame them. I probably agree with them. Let's go to Dave in Woodbridge on G&D. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Grant. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
So I don't think they're out. I just think they're sitting back. Hopefully the price will drop. And so you mentioned, maybe trading Jahan or Diami. Let's be honest, they're not taking Diami Brown. Nobody wants him. He's probably going to get cut midway through the season or after the season anyways. I would love to see them. The timing is right. So we have money on the salary cap because we don't have guys to pay right now. There's no left tackle to go spend $30 million a year on or $20 million a year on. So timing is right to get Ayuk on a 3 or 4 year deal. I'd love to see it happen. Trade Jahan and maybe a third round pick and bring him in for 30 a year for 3 years. Let's do it. Let's give this man some weapons.
So if the price drops, maybe you could get him for that. I get the sense right now they're asking for more than what you just said. It'd be Jahan and maybe like a 2 and a 3, you know, or Jahan and a 2 and, you know, maybe, you know, 2 years later, a 3 or whatever. But yeah, if the price comes down and that's the asking point, I have a hard time believing they wouldn't do that. The question is, what is the Peters evaluation having been in that building? Is he a top shelf receiver that you're willing to pay the $30 million to after that trade? Because that's the part of this I always come back to. We're viewing him as to what he is in that San Francisco offense right now, where Kyle Shanahan's going to get more out of almost every receiver than anybody here or in any market, because nobody gets receivers open better than him. And this is what Ayuk is. When I'm a defensive coach and I got to deal with Debo, McCaffrey, Kittle, Juszczyk, bunch of Pro Bowlers, bunch of All Pros, bunch of Hall of Fame types, is it different when he's now the number one guy and getting all the attention? Mello in Woodbridge, how are you?
I'm good, Grant. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Good. I agree with what you just said. You actually stole my thunder a little bit. I think that Adam Peters, he's very smart and strategic. I think he's thinking long-term that is Ayuk worth that when he can probably draft somebody that can give him the same type of productivity? And you mentioned the other three options, if Kittle's and Debo, as well as Ayuk is probably the fourth option, if anything, when they have their offense that they're running. Can he be that number one, number two guy? And I think he just doesn't want to deal with the diva that is potentially in Brandon Ayuk.
So that is a big part of this, I think. I don't know Ayuk at all, and I am giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's just acting a fool right now, that he's not a fool, right? I'll use the word diva. I think that's probably more acceptable. He's acting like a diva, and he's not a diva. I'm just assuming. AP would know that. I mean, Peters came from there, has been there since Ayuk was knee-high to a grasshopper. He knows what this guy's all about. And he would know if he's just throwing a tantrum because he doesn't want to go to his room, or if he's a guy that throws a lot of tantrums. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Grant? I agree with you. It's probably just a matter of price and that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Why would you give up valuable, controllable assets and draft picks and cash to sign this guy? But I don't think it's helping that he is putting on airs and being perceived as a diva who would rather be forcibly traded from a Super Bowl franchise where he just had his best career season.
Right. Well, how about this too, Chris? I'm going to keep you on the line, but and also, like he's saying, get me out of here. I want to be paid. You're not paying me. Get me out of here. And then the report is from Mike Reese, not a nobody, like the ESPN reporter on the Patriots. He comes out and says the Patriots offered him $32 million a year, but he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, so what is it? The thing is once you get Ayuk, what is he going to find that he doesn't like about Washington in 6 months or 3 months?
What if he doesn't like Ben's Chili Bowl?
Well, that's an automatic. You're gone. In my book.
I agree with that.
But
maybe he's anti-half smoke, Chris.
Oh, no, you can't be anti-half smoke.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what is the guy not going to like. You said, what's he not going to like about DC? What if he doesn't like go-go music? He better like go-go music. What if he doesn't like DJ Flex? He can just hit the road, as far as I'm concerned. Because my name is DJ Flex, and I represent Washington, D.C. I saw Flex the other day, by the way, Darius. I hadn't seen Flex in a minute. It's good to see his smiling face.
Was it around here?
Yeah, I think he was like sitting in one of these like rooms in the second floor. Yeah.
Wow, that's my guy.
I didn't get to see him because he looked like he was doing actual business.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
I was waddling my way to the studio. Why is Adam Peters not in Ayuk is the question on Grant and Danny. Plus, I want to turn our attention to the Nats. James Wood, what a night last night. G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.